Hi, this is Joanne Ecton, founder of Mojo Solutions, and welcome to our podcast where we talk about success. It's all about building your mojo. And my definition of mojo is finding what you enjoy, what you're good at, and that you think is important. And when all three of those things can intersect, then you are leading a successful life. Today we're talking to Greg Counts, who is the managing partner of Software Counts LLC on the web at www.mysoftwareaccounts.com. Greg's company is focused on doing Android smartphone tablet development, so if you have any need to extend applications to smartphones, go visit Greg and he can help you. Now today's topic is addressing something that comes up quite a bit when we talk to employees who hate their jobs, are unhappy in their jobs, and they just don't know what to do to transition themselves to being a business owner. So Greg is going to talk to us about his experiences and some of the lessons that we can learn from what he's gone through.
Now, Greg, I invited you to join us today to talk about your experiences about moving away from working for someone else and moving towards working for yourself. And I know that you've successfully done that. And so I really appreciate you spending the time with us today to go through and share with us your experiences so that we can learn from you. So if we could, let's just jump right in and talk about what you had in your past as far as your corporate job and what made you leave.
Okay. Well, good morning, Joanne. I was with GTE for about 21 years, started in software development and then did a range of different activities. And I left the company in 2000. And my primary reason for leaving at the time was I just kind of felt like I was stuck in middle management. And if I was going to develop all of my professional capability, I would really need to get out and do something on my own. And that had been a desire of mine going way back to have my own business anyway. As a matter of fact, I had started a little business on the side back in the late 80s to automate pizza stores. And at the time, the company had this program called Entrepreneuring where they would let you bring ideas to the company, and then they would fund it as if they were like a venture capital group. And I had a business funded just like that. It was called the GTE Advanced Pizza System. And we ran that for about a little over 2 years as a internal business, wholly owned subsidiary of the company. And doing that just gave me great insight into marketing and sales and the non-technical aspects of business startup that just served me really great as I, you know, branched out on my own.
So it was a great opportunity for you to get started. Can you talk about, you talked about learning some of the non-technical aspects of business that this opportunity gave you. Once you branched out on your own, did you find that you had to think things through differently as moving from an employee to entrepreneur? What were the things that you hadn't considered as an employee that you needed to care for as your own business owner?
Well, you know, for me, I think the biggest part of that transition was just the mental state of being the owner, you know, the founder, the president of the company. And that was not a mental mindset that I was used to, you know, having worked for the company, you know, starting out, you know, right after school. I, you know, had been an employee for 21 years, and I just didn't think of myself in those terms. And I know for the first year after I left the company, it really felt odd introducing myself as the founder of a company. It just didn't, mentally, it didn't seem to fit. And, you know, for me, I think that was critical because the mindset kind of drives your behavior and your actions. And internally, I think you have to make that conscious decision internally that you are going to be the tip of the spear. You're going to drive the operation. You're going to drive what happens. and you're going to wake up and create the day. That sort of mindset, I think it's so important. And it took me almost a year to get comfortable with occupying that new role versus being, a part of a larger organization and just kind of fitting in and doing a part of a bigger story.
All right. We see so many times today employees who show up from work really disengaged, and they wait for their boss to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the boss now, right? No one else is going
right.
to tell you what to do, so you're the one who has to drive your day-to-day activities, like you
said. Right.
I spoke with a man who's also a successful entrepreneur, and he asks himself a question every day, and he says, am I better today than I was yesterday? And he makes
mm-hmm.
sure that he makes progress, right? And every day he's doing something to move his business forward. And that's not something you typically think about as an employee. You're not thinking about how am I moving the business forward today. It's really just what is it that my boss is telling me to do. So it's a completely different
right.
mindset. So I think you really nailed it there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's a lot of fear, right? People who, when you talk to folks about, do you want to own your own business? The answer is invariably yes, but what holds them back is fear. And one of the biggest things, I think, about fear is the fear of letting go of that supposed security of that paycheck, right? The paycheck that's coming in every 2 weeks regardless, and that puts in a false sense of security. And I say it's a false sense because if you look at statistics today, most people are not happy in their jobs. They're not fulfilled in their jobs. They don't feel like their jobs are secure. And corporate layoffs, which were unheard of, a few decades ago, they're just part of the entire blanket of our economy, right? They're here to stay. You see corporate layoffs happening almost on an annual basis. And so security almost becomes an oxymoron, right, of having a paycheck from another company. But I get that taking that step of saying, I'm not going to have that paycheck coming in every 2 weeks, to now I have to go and earn it, and the marketplace will pay me based on the value I'm providing to the marketplace. That's a complete different shift in how you're looking at your efforts. Was that something that you struggled with, and what, how did you deal with that kind of a fear?
I talked about this with my wife, as we were making plans to make this transition. And we kind of laid out, what would be the worst case scenario. And, if the business was not successful, we didn't have the income, there would be repercussions, that would affect our family. And where we kind of drew the line was we wanted to be able to at least get all of our kids through college in the worst case scenario. We wanted to have their education funded, to the point where if we really just kind of fell flat as far as the business goes, we would be able to take care of that. And then the other issues we would just handle, as they arose. And so we kind of agreed that that would be the floor, that would be the, the bottom part. But in addition to, we also, before I left the company, we already had contracts in place and we had revenue coming in from the business. So we did make a cold transition from, weekly income to the business. But even with all that planning, when we start the business in earnest in 2000 and 2001, the country was going through all kinds of shifts. And so even with all that planning, even with having existing customers in place, we had really just a roller coaster of revenue. We had new contracts right out the gate, and then we went almost 2 years without any new contracts at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we did as much advanced planning as we could, and my advice would be to make sure you have a bottom level floor covered. There's you have at least a provision that will allow you to operate in a worst case scenario and be comfortable with what that could actually come about, because you really have no guarantees. No matter how great of a mousetrap you've created, you really have no guarantees in the marketplace in terms of how that's going to be accepted and pulled through, and you have to be prepared for that.
So you really mentioned, I think, two key things. One was that you started putting your business and your contracts in place while you were still employed. So it really isn't an either-or kind of scenario that you can, I guess, put your toe in the water while you're still employed and start something on the side. And once you've built up that confidence level, then you can take the leap. So I think that's a key. You know, folks think about, you know, it's an either-or, but it really isn't. You can do both, right?
Right.
You hear people like, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, they talk about multiple streams of income. When you're an employee, you have one stream of income, but that doesn't mean it has to stay that way, right? You can start your own business on the side on a part-time basis. And what the decision then becomes, how much time are you willing to invest? Because you're working a full-time job, and now you want to start another job, if you will, on the side, and so you have to be willing to put that time commitment into it.
We actually incorporated the business in 97, and I didn't leave until 2000. So there were several years there where I was meeting with prospective suppliers and lining things up and doing a detailed business plan and all that, you know, prior to actually leaving.
So when you did leave, when you finally walked and went full-time on your own, how well-defined would you say your plans were at that point? And then, you know, so now it's how many years later, right? It's more than 10 years later. Are you still following that same plan?
Well, the business that we started in 2000, we ended up closing in 2010, and I started a new business right at the end of, at that same time, which is the business I have right now, Software Accounts. And so the business that, when I left the company, we had a business plan, we had quarterly operational plan, and I was always big in doing as much planning and measuring performance against the plan and making adjustments and all that. But, and we were fairly successful for most of that time, but it came to a point where, towards the end, where I saw that it was basically just a diminishing return on effort, and I didn't see, given all the different things that we had tried, that we would be able to make a significant change in that trajectory. So I decided to go ahead and close the business in 2010, and then, you know, venture off in a new direction. But I do believe that planning that we did was a big part of the success that we had. And had we not done that planning, we would have ended up making way more mistakes than we actually did.
Well, and so that trajectory of 10 years with your business was really based on putting some of the groundwork in place. And I think, you know, of any business, you need to treat it like a business. Like you say, it's have the plan, have your operational plan, but also have your measurements to know if you're making progress, right? So all of that, because if you're on the internet, you see everybody and their brother offering you some $37 program that's going to make you rich, right? But it's not real, right? If you want to really have a business, you have to treat it like a business, and that means doing all of the homework and the foundations that you just talked about.
And I would say, too, that even if you're going to pursue, like, an existing operation, like a franchise or something like that, you still have to go through and do the business planning. You have to determine that there's a market for what that business is going to offer, that you're able to compete with the competition successfully. I would never recommend to someone just buying an operation, like, off the shelf and trying to run with it and assume that all those other questions are answered somehow. I would do the homework myself and come to a conclusion that it's viable and it's doable.
Well, and another takeaway from talking to you that I'd like to talk about is you had a plan, you followed it, you had your degrees of success, and now you're changing your plan and doing something different. I think we do ourselves a disservice of thinking that you can just plan out the rest of your life and it's going to stay that way. Like, I just had my oldest go off to college, and everyone asked him, so what are you going to major in? What, you know, and ask him at 18 years old to plan out what he's going to be and what he's going to do with his life. And I think we have to think in terms of growth and experience expanding and changing as you learn what works for you, what doesn't work for you. As you start moving down the path, you'll find that new doors open up for you and new opportunities open up for you that you never considered. And so if you think that you can plan everything in advance and have it work out perfectly, you're not going to get started. What you need to do is just start moving, right? I use the analogy that you can't steer your car while it's still parked in the driveway, right? You want to turn right, you want to turn left. Sure. You actually have to be moving before you can do that. And
right.
That's it. So, and I think that that is your prime example of you were moving, you were doing things, you had your targets, now you're adjusting, right, and moving
right.
on to something else. And this is probably an opportunity that you hadn't even considered 10 years ago.
Right.
Right. But let's talk about your lifestyle, because let's talk about, you know, do you work a 9-to-5 job? Are you working 7 days a week? Or, you know, what kind of freedom or work-life balance kind of structures have you been able to put in place as your own business owner?
Yeah, that's a great question. The work-life balance is so important. When we started this business, my wife was working with me in the business, and about 3 or 4 years into it, we were working almost 24/7. I mean, we would work in the business during the day. We go to dinner, and we would talk about the business on the way to dinner. We would talk about the business at dinner and talk about business on the way back. And that was disastrous. And we didn't have very good boundaries between work and you know, outside of work. And I came across this article about this lady that was working feverishly in her business, and it was just really just running her into the ground until she finally realized that the whole point of the business was to support her and her lifestyle. And that article really changed how I view things, and I began to, you know, change. And it just really relieved a lot of pressure because we had almost become like slaves to the business, and the whole point of the business was to support our family. So I think we kind of got things out of balance at one point. We kind of made some adjustments and kind of brought it back into a proper perspective. And I think with doing that, you're even though you're not working as many hours, your creativity and your ability to resolve issues and problems just goes up. It goes through the roof. And it's just so important to have that balance. With the new business that I have now, what I've done is I'm focused on an area that allows me to work about 30 hours a week and is not as intensive as what I was doing before because, for one thing, I don't have the demands that we had before. Our kids are all grown and have left now. And I want a business that allows me to still pursue things professionally, but just it's not so demanding. So it's something that's more of a fit for me where I am in my life right now. And I think that's something that, you know, I would encourage all entrepreneurs to do is take a look at, you know, what they want to do and make sure that the business doesn't end up owning them, because you will certainly grow to regret that if that happens.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in putting business systems in place and actually working on your business rather than in your business, so that
right.
you can walk away and you know have the lifestyle that you want. So I'm a big believer in those kinds of systems. We've talked about a lot of things today, Greg, and I know you've shared so much of your experience and wisdom with us. And what I'd like to ask you is if you could give one piece of advice to someone who's considering taking this path to being an entrepreneur, what would that be? What advice would you give to people?
I think you need to really do a little bit of a self-assessment and see if it's a good fit for you. Because as an entrepreneur, you have to wear a lot of different hats. And challenges come at you from all different directions. It seems to me that some people are more suited to that than others. Mm-hmm. And I've often reflected on the fact that with my businesses, it hasn't been any less stressful than the corporate work that I was doing, but the stress is different. And I tend to handle entrepreneurial stress better than I did when I was in the corporate environment. And so I think that's the number one thing is, you know, are you comfortable with wearing different hats, working on areas that are really not your strength, but are things that have to be attended to in order for you to be successful? And to the extent that you can do those things, I think that will help drive, you know, your success.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. Thanks, Greg. One final question. I mean, you spent 20 years in the corporate environment and then over a decade now doing your own thing. What advice would you give to yourself? What would you do differently if you were starting over?
For me, I probably would not have worked in the corporate environment for 21 years. I'm just more of an entrepreneur. I'm just, you know, I thrive in that environment. And I think I was just super cautious and I got comfortable, you know, in the corporate environment. And I would have preferred that I would have left the company earlier. I think initially the skills I learned, the interpersonal skills, working with other professionals, was just great, especially right out of school. But I think in short order, if I could have transitioned into more of an entrepreneurial endeavor, that would have been, it probably would have been better for me. So I think it's just a matter of knowing yourself, getting in touch with yourself, and pursuing, you know, what you're passionate about. And, you know, and I see that in other entrepreneurs that started out early and took that risk. It doesn't mean that you're always going to be wildly successful, but I think that you'll really enjoy the journey. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, that's what it is, right? We have no do-overs in life. We only get to do it once, and so do it to the best of your ability, right?
Right.
We're so grateful to Greg for coming and joining us and sharing all of his wisdom with us. The fastest way we know to achieve success is to really model those who have already done it, and Greg has given us so many pieces of information to share. So once again, this is Joanne Ecton, founder of Mojo Solutions, and you can find us at mymojosolutions.com. We've been speaking with Greg Counts, founder of Software Counts LLC. If you are a company that's looking to do any kind of specialized apps to extend your brand, provide capabilities, or you want to give access to your consumer market through their smartphones or through their mobile devices, go see Greg at mysoftwareaccounts.com.